D-Mace, Finnegan, and Donick, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Broadcasting from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick will join us momentarily. Live from Raleigh, North Carolina, Predators versus Hurricanes tonight at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. One programming note, because of the early start time, Barry Trotz will join Robbie Stanley on Predators pregame at 5 o'clock. So the usual 5 o'clock for Barry Trotz today, but not with Jared. He will be on with Robbie Stanley at 5 o'clock. We welcome in Willie Donick. Hello, Willie.
Hello, guys. What's going on?
We are doing wonderfully. We've been talking a lot about Cam Ward's pro day, but the question that I have posed to all of our listeners at 615-737-1025, what can the Titans do this offseason to regain the trust of their fans? And I just want to go through at first, and then I'll let Willie answer this question, but I just want to go through first what the Titans have done so far this offseason. Mm-hmm. They fired Ran Carthon and hired Mike Borgonzi. Most of you did not like Ran Carthon as Titans GM. So they made that change. Mm-hmm. They brought in an experienced special teams coordinator, Bones Fossil, mm-hmm. replacing a first-year special teams coordinator, Colt Anderson. We talked about the special teams issues all season long. Bones Fossil has been in the league for a minute. Bones Fossil coached Derek. Mm-hmm. So that's how long Bones Fossil, again, this is not me saying that Derek is old. He's seasoned. He is seasoned. And so is
Bones
Fossil.
He's a fossil.
He is not a fossil. He brings in Bones. They bring in Bones Fossil. So they get more experience at an important coaching position. Mm-hmm. In free agency, they bolster the offensive line. They sign Dan Moore. They sign Kevin Zeitler. Most importantly, they sign players who are durable. Dan Moore doesn't miss games. Xavier Woods does not miss games. I don't think even Van Jefferson misses games.
Zeitler didn't miss a game.
Zeitler doesn't miss very many games. So the Titans put a premium on durability, which has been an issue. So those are the things that they've done so far this offseason. The Cam Ward decision looms large, because of the importance to this franchise, as you laid out earlier, Derek. But as I said yesterday, I'm sure the Titans wish they had the number one pick a year ago, because we weren't having these conversations about Caleb Williams or Jaden Daniels or Drake May. At least I don't recall us having these conversations about, I don't know, are they worth the number one pick? It was pretty evident that Caleb Williams was worth the number one pick. But now the Titans, they are in position to draft a quarterback where people are wondering if he is really, truly a number one pick caliber quarterback. So let's bring Willie into this. Is there anything the Titans have done or can do, in your opinion, Willie, this offseason to help regain the trust of their fans that feel so burned by a lot of the decisions that the team has made in previous years?
I think the population of people that drive that narrative are, I don't know that they represent, mm-hmm. you know, the mass majority of the actual Titans fans, but I think like when you have a group like that, it does shape it. And as I said yesterday, there are a lot of examples of things you can point out where it's a fair question to ask. What is going on over there in terms of the continuity, the decision-making process, the communication, the cohesiveness? It does look like it's kind of batty sometimes, the wild card. And, of course, yesterday as we're talking about this, I don't know if you guys mentioned this on the show, but Derek, I know it's a guy that you worked with for a long time, and I've known since we were in college together. We were actually roommates at one point, but Robbie Bourne was let go.
Yes.
Yesterday, I was really disappointed to hear that. 28 years, he was a guy that was a staple, a very even-keeled guy that I thought was extremely effective in his job. I'm biased, of course, but like Robbie Bourne is not a guy that does something to get fired. Like that, there's no reason why he would get fired. Like he is the consummate pro. So I'm completely puzzled by that move. You know, that's the kind of, that's another thing that has you going, what are they doing over there? And you know, what's going on up top? Like, what's the process over there? Why? You know?
And that is some of the things, and we were going to talk about Robbie and his, you know, his stint.
So for those of you who are unfamiliar, Robbie Boren was the Titans' head of football communications, mm-hmm. and he was a lifelong employee, well, I guess, of the life of the Titans organization, was a lifelong
right. Original.
Yes, he was an original, thank you. An original Titans employee. He joined the team in 1997. And, look, I heard Jared Stillman talking about this. Paul Kaharsky wrote a story about this at his website yesterday. Robbie Boren is not someone that the casual Titans fan knows about. His primary job was to be the liaison between the team and those who cover it, which is by extension how all of you get the information about the team mm-hmm. that you love, or love to hate, or hate to love. I don't know. Depends on how you feel about it. But, you know, he is, as Willie said, you know, someone is an original Titans employee, somebody, to use the old cliche, who bled two-tone blue, mm-hmm. and he's gone inexplicably. I did not know Robbie as well as Willie and Derek. The times I did interact with him were always, he was always very cordial, very helpful. But, you know, it's decisions like these behind the scenes that can lead to questions about team culture.
Yeah, and this is what you're going, and this is what some of the, you know, fan base or those that are sort of, you know, moved here, they, you know, are not partial, or neither do they like or dislike the Titans. They just see from afar what's going on. And it does seem like a, you know, an organization that, you know, you kind of, it makes you a little bit hesitant in regards to truly trusting them moving forward. Like you said, Robbie Boren was if you think of somebody being fired, you don't think of Robbie Boren. That's the last person you would probably think of. And he's been there, you know, he's been head for 25 years, but he's been with the organization for, I believe, 28 years. And he's been nothing but, you know, helpful, respectful to the media. He may not always agree with what we'd say. I thought the organization, you know, had a problem with me. But when I would talk to Robbie or ask him for anything, I would have never thought that. You know,
he was so good at calming down. He could calm down a volatile situation.
Exactly. But he was just a good.
Yeah,
he did his job extremely well, and he was well respected, not just here in the Nashville area, but I believe, and frankly, I know, because when I went to Baltimore or I went to Houston or the Jets, they talked about Robbie Boren and how their interactions with him. So it's not just here in Nashville. It's in Baltimore. It's in New York with the Jets. It's with the Houston Texans. You know, and I'm sure it goes even beyond that, because you don't last as long as he did if you are not making good relationships in your building and outside your building. And how do you treat those former players that are coming back and may want, you know, or ask questions of you about the organization? How do you handle that? And with my experience with Robbie, it has been nothing but A1 professional. And I texted him yesterday, and he texted me right back. So I just wanted to tell him how much we appreciated, or how much I appreciated him and what he was able to do, and how much I thought he meant to that organization.
So Adam, go ahead, Willie.
Just to kind of bring it back to your original question, right, there's all of these things that we can list that would have you questioning whether they have a tight-run ship over there, right? I think they have major questions there. It doesn't mean you can't have a good team.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a lot of question marks. And all the things you pointed out, Adam, I think are cause for optimism. But there will be a cross-section of the fans. We had a few, I think, called or text our show yesterday that are in the mode right now of whatever decision they make, it's not going to go well. There's just mm-hmm. just because, right? And so until they have a run of success and start winning some games, that group of people are not going to be convinced otherwise. They're just they are just resigned to the fact right now. They don't know what they're doing. If they take Cam Ward, it's wrong. If they trade the pick, Cam Ward's going to be a franchise quarterback because it's the Titans.
Yeah, pretty much.
I mean, some people just
think
that
way,
right?
You can't win.
Yeah, you get into that.
And I understand the skepticism in all of this. Why? Because this is what has been shown to the Titans fans. But again, you asked for change within the organization, just like a relationship. If you're asking someone to change and you see the change, you can't keep, you know, wishing ill on the relationship or the team because of prior things that have happened, especially if they ask you to get a, like you said, they ask you to get a new special teams coach, a more seasoned one. What do? Go out and get one of the best in Fossil. You ask them to change the GM. What do? Go out there and get Borghazi, who's been a part, who's watched a successful organization draft a quarterback and proceed to win championships. And he was a part of that. So you're going to get all these things that the fan base is asking for. I don't understand still, and you're doing everything. I don't understand still, why would you wish ill on the franchise or why would you wish ill on the relationship? You just don't do that, especially if the things are happening that you have asked for them to do. That's just me. But again, I understand there are some in the fan base that no matter what, they think that whoever is doing the drafting, it's the Titans and it's going to go bad.
So let's get to some of your reactions. 615-737-1025. And there are two texts here that sort of make our point about different opinions. So one texter pointed out, I can't remember the exact number, but I believe it was Chad Brinker and I guess Mike Borghazi too. Mm-hmm. We're talking about the number of top 100 picks they want to have, right, in the next few drafts. This texter says, picking Cam Ward, you're not getting that draft capital, so you lied to us already. That was one texter. They haven't made that decision, by the way.
They would like to have.
Yes.
He didn't say we are going to. See, again, you got to listen to
the
wording.
Then we have another texter who says, just draft Cam Ward. That's what they can do. Trading the pick will lose my trust. So you can't win either way.
Yeah, you can't win.
Right?
But listen, when he says it's all about wording, they want to try to have X amount of picks within the top 100, you know, for these years. We want that to happen. But you know what? We may not get it. That may not be the case. Somebody may not want to draft, you know, trade out, you know, out off the number one pick.
Brinker said, quote, I would love to have 30 picks over the next 3 years, and 12 of those picks come from the top 100.
I would love to. Don't you think every other GM out there would love to have the same thing? I would love to. He didn't say we will.
I would love to have more hair.
I would have $1 million.
I would love to have more hair.
We would all like to have more hair.
So it's like he said.
Because we're all bald on this show.
Exactly.
As many
people
point out.
We would love to have X amount of picks in the top one.
I'm actually, my head is shaved, not bald. Sorry.
So.
Just making that clear.
Well, I don't. My mind won't run no more. So forget you, Adam. He's not telling you we will because he doesn't know. You know, circumstances are different each and every year. If you are a better team, there's more times than not, you're not going to have all those draft picks. Now, you may be able to sort of work your way into getting them eventually, but you can't just – if you love Cam Ward and no one wants to give you what you believe is going to be worth to move up to that number one pick, then I'm not trading off just because, oh, man, I can't do it because I won't reach that number, which I said I would love to have. No. If it's not right, I'm not doing it. That's the way I see it. But like you said, and like we've heard, there's one extreme and there's the other. But majority of the people are in the middle.
Right.
Just like everyday life.
Like, look, we've said this many times as well, Willie, that although draft analysts appear somewhat skeptical that Cam Ward is a number one overall pick worthy quarterback and a quote-unquote normal quarterback class or better quarterback class. As long as the Titans have strength in their convictions and all of those people who showed up to Cam Ward's pro day, Borgonzi, Brinker, Callahan, Ziegler, Reggie McKenzie, Jim Wyatt, everybody, all of the video people, as long as they have, you know, strength in their convictions that Cam Ward is their guy, that's all that matters. But because of all of the conjecture out there, it feels like the Titans are behind the eight ball already when it comes to making this decision.
You know, I was reading a very interesting article in The Athletic about just really breaking down some of the things that you can track in the in his college stats. And as Tim Hasselbeck pointed out, because he started a lot of games in his college career, you have a lot of reps that you can evaluate. You have a lot of data. So it's not the small sample size. You got a big sample size. So that should help you with the evaluation. So the more analysis that you see with more Ward, I do think, because yesterday we were joking about all these quarterbacks in the past, they've got it. He's a leader. Everybody follows up. Whatever it is, he's got it. Like, I need more than that if you're going to use the first pick on him. And I think some of the analysis I'm seeing is encouraging, and I really do trust Tim Hasselbeck because he really dives deep into these quarterbacks every year. And I think he's had a pretty good track record of what you're going to see. So even if he's not, because I've wrestled with this myself, because I keep asking, is Ward a guy that is worthy of the first pick, not worthy of being a first-round pick, but the first overall pick? That's an important question. But this is where I'm kind of swaying a little bit, is if he's worthy of a top 10 pick in any year, and it's a quarterback, and you desperately need a quarterback, that is hard to pass up. If you really like him, and as Derek says, if you, with conviction, say, I believe in this guy, then it may not be perfect, but he may be your guy. And all of these signs, it's hard to ignore all of the people they sent down there for the pro day and the dinner the night before. It looks like it's moving in that direction.
615-737-1025. We will continue to take your reaction on Cam Ward's pro day and if there is anything the Titans have done or can do this offseason to start rebuilding your trust in the organization. 615-737-1025. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025-1063. The game.
The throw that you did on the roll, on the run, where you hit a dime and it looked like you turned to the Titans brass, Chad Brinker and Mike Gorenzanzi, mm-hmm. and said something to him.
Yeah,
what did you
what
say
I said,
to him?
I said, I'm solidifying it today.
And you solidified
what I said.
Locking
so,
it up.
Uh-huh.
They heard you. They
yeah,
laughed.
They, I
a little
made
bit.
Sure they heard me.
So I guess off that tip, the Titans obviously have the number one overall pick. Mm-hmm. They like you. They've had you in the building. What did you want to show them today?
I said not only showing them, but every other team just throwing on rhythm. Whether it's three steps on rhythm, five steps on rhythm for under in the gun, heavy play action. Gun five with movement outside the pocket. Just showing them all. You know, under center stuff that I didn't get to show as much during the season, let them know that I'm capable of it. Because at the end of the day, the NFL is not playing under center all the time. They're in the gun, but you got to be able to do it. And so that was the main focus for me. And then other than that, just making it all about my receivers, trying to throw them catchable balls, make sure not have balls hit the ground. We had a couple. But at the end of the day, you ain't going to be perfect. You always got stuff to get better at.
That was Cam Ward after his pro day yesterday on NFL Network. Adam Schefter tweeted about an hour and a half ago, that Tennessee will hold an additional private workout with Cam Ward. Again, not a surprise. The Titans have become increasingly impressed with Ward, and while they are expected to listen to offers for the number one overall pick, it now would take an even stronger package to acquire the draft's top selection. I can see Willie Donick in his hotel room in Raleigh just rubbing his hands together, saying the plan is working perfectly.
Yes, I love it. I love it. Step up to the plate. Give me your best offer.
Yeah, and listen, it doesn't hurt, and I've said this before, it doesn't hurt to know, for everybody to know that you really love Cam Ward. It doesn't, because I don't think you can – maybe they can, but it's hard for me to think that you can fake it to make it this much, like this intently. Like, it's just, you know that they like exactly what they see. And what they're seeing is exactly what they saw on film. And I think even more to that is, now that they've talked with him another time, because they talked with him at the combine, I'm sure. Now you got a chance to talk to him again. They are just loving him more and more and more. Now, does that ultimately mean they draft him? I don't know. But the signs are, the scale is sort of tilting that they will, but that's not a bad thing. Because if you like him that much, and the Giants or anybody else really want him, and they know you like him that much, don't you think they may offer a little bit more to try to get up to that spot? I tend to think if you like him the way the Titans like him, or even more, or you like what the Titans are seeing, then I would tend to think you would offer a little bit more. Now, whether the Titans take it or not, that's solely up to them. I don't know.
One texter on our text line answering our question about what the Titans can do this offseason to at least start the process of regaining back fans' trust. One texter says, trading back would give me faith that this organization prioritizes long-term goals over short-term success. If they do take Cam Ward, I'd love to hear from Borgonzi and Brinker post-draft on why that made more sense than trading back, and we'll need the answer to be something more than he was the best quarterback in this class and we needed the quarterback.
But in their minds, and tell me what you think of this, Willie. In their minds, I understand what the text you're saying, but in their minds, if they're drafting Cam Ward, number one overall, they believe he's the future. So that plan is still in place. Because if we are believing what our eyes see and what our ears hear, and if that happens like you did with Jaden Daniels and C.J. Stroud, and somewhat from a play standpoint with Caleb Williams, because you look at Caleb and you figure, yeah, he's the guy. They just need to get some things situated around him. If you see, wouldn't you think, okay, this helps, this benefits us more than anything, that we find a quarterback, if we find our quarterback for the next 10 to 15 years, because that is more than half the battle, finding you a quarterback and a team that can coach and develop that quarterback.
One of the things in that article that I was referencing, it's in The Athletic, they talk about Ward is a guy that has a track record. Like, he was not a high recruited high school prospect. In fact, they called him a zero star. I don't know if that's 100% accurate and everybody agreed he was a zero star, but he did get signed by Incarnate Word, right? He didn't go to a major college out of high school. Mm-hmm. And he worked his way up. He transferred, and he ends up at Miami, played a lot of games. So if you think improvement is a skill, then Ward, you hope, will not be a finished product once he gets into the NFL, that he'll keep getting better. So this is the essence of the article. Ward is a step down from the elite prospects of the 2024 class. Again, that's the dilemma for the Titans. You have the first pick. The first pick should be an elite prospect. I'm not using the G word, but
don't you dare.
It's reasonable every year when you have the first pick. You want an elite prospect. And Ward is not an elite quarterback prospect, but by I think this echoes most of the evaluation. He's worthy of a top 10 pick in his own right, especially with the position he plays. And so that's the dilemma. Is there a team that thinks he's good enough to where you're saying, look, it's well worth an extra first or an extra second or a combination of other picks to go get this guy? And that's what, I don't know if the Titans have seen that kind of offer yet. And they, deep down, do they believe he's worthy of the first pick? It's a tough position to be in, I think.
Charles Robinson, who joins Robbie and Rex Road every week, wrote a story on Yahoo Sports about Cam Ward's pro day. And he wrote, surely the Titans knew his intentions, meaning Cam Ward's intentions, after a motorcade of the team's top executives and coaches took Ward to dinner Sunday in advance of his workout. Now everyone else knows too. The workout was attended by at least one representative from every team in the league. including a healthy contingent from the New York Giants and general manager Joe Shane, offensive coordinator Mike Kafka, and quarterbacks coach Shea Tierney. Interestingly, the Cleveland Browns attendance didn't feature either GM Andrew Berry or head coach Kevin Stefanski. So those are the two teams that a lot of people key in on when it comes to this pick, the Browns at two or the Giants at three. Now, the Giants signed Jameis Winston, but that can't be it. Jameis Winston starting 17 games for the New York Giants. He feels like a placeholder. So we'll see if either one of those teams is desperate enough. One texter says, for the people who keep saying to trade back, I'm going to ask one simple question. Who's throwing the ball? I mean, that is a pretty important position to figure out. All I mean is, it says all, and I mean all of the starting quarterback free agents are gone. The Titans have shown no interest in Dart or any other quarterback. To say that trading back to get more picks is the only way to show they are invested in the future is asinine. By the way, if it were up to me, we talked about this yesterday. If it were up to me, if it's not Cam Ward, the answer would be Will Levis. And we would do the Davis Mills path, as we discussed yesterday, where you throw Will Levis out there and you probably stink again, but then you end up in the same position and you hope it helps build up your franchise. But, you know, I am curious, as Adam Schefter said, it's going to take an even bigger offer. I'm wondering if the Giants and the Browns are starting to wonder, hey, maybe we really do need Cam Ward.
Listen, I get, you know, the fan base when, you know, you say, well, aren't you trying to fix the whole rather than just one individual position? Wouldn't you rather have, you know, multiple picks and try to reach that 100 that you put out there? And he didn't say that it would happen. He said, we are trying. We would try. We would love that. Now, you look at, you know, Washington. I go back to the Commanders. They end up having a lot of picks in the draft, but a lot of them were late round picks, you know, sixth, seventh round picks, somewhere around there. But even with all of that, if they do not hit on the quarterback, all of that is for naught. All of these draft picks that they had was for naught. Because I'm sure some of these draft picks are not even on the team anymore, or had minimal to do with their success. But you know who did a lot to do with their success? Jaden Daniels. He had a whole bunch to do with their success. So it can work both ways. I think you can get your quarterback. If you think Cam Ward is your guy, you can draft him at number one and still find a way to enhance your team or make your team better via the draft. But you won't see the fruits of a lot of that if the quarterback isn't like that guy, because that's the only guy people want to see, you know. Yeah, you may draft a running back or receiver in the second and third round, but, okay, if he doesn't work out, you're like, okay. But you want to make sure that the number one pick works out. So if he works out, regardless of what they do, you're going to say what? It was a successful draft. If he doesn't work out but those other guys work out, you're going to say, man, that was a bad draft. Not knowing that the guys behind them are doing pretty good. They are key contributors to your team. It may take the quarterback that you drafted a little bit longer to develop. So you got to be careful in how sort of you look at this and say, well, you know, I would rather have the picks than a quarterback. Okay, I understand that, but what if those picks don't pan out and you don't have a quarterback? I would at least, if the quarterback pans out and the picks don't work out, then okay, I'm still good, because the Washington Commanders have shown that the one guy that can change our fortunes as well as the Houston Texans is the quarterback.
615-737-1025. We'll take your assorted thoughts on Cam Ward after his pro day yesterday. 615-737-1025. But before we go today, I do want to welcome somebody into our media fraternity.
Ah.
We'll do that coming up next. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025, 1063, The Game.
But is there anything that's, from your perspective, that's going to make you nervous about making this transition into becoming an NFL player? And that could be on or off the field.
I haven't really thought about it. I probably still have to get into it first, actually being a quarterback. But on film, it's the same as college. Besides the D-line, who's obviously better. Every team playing gets the highest paid defensive lineman. So, you know, the game could speed up a little bit. But just from a back-end standpoint, a lot of guys want to put the safety high 25 yards down the field and leave the middle field wide open. So some teams who did that to us this year, they paid the price. I think some teams in the NFL did a lot of too high stuff, like Dallas going a lot of Tampa, a lot of cover two. They leave way too much space on the sideline down the seams. And so I just think, you know, the arm strength and, you know, the confidence that I'm bringing, along with the, you know, me getting my receivers better, I just think I'll be able to put the ball where I want.
That was Cam Ward answering the question. But more importantly, that was Rand Carthon asking the question.
Oh,
Rand Carthon doing interviews now for CBS Sports Network. Rand Carthon live at Miami's Pro Day. Awkward. That's what I thought when I saw that. That's what I thought when I saw that. I was just like, ooh, Rand Carthon. So welcome, Rand Carthon, to the media brotherhood and sisterhood.
Is this what he's going to do? Is this because I do think he would be really good at it if that's what he wants to do.
It's a good question.
Like it seems like he may end up being, you know, what because we didn't see, if you think about it, we didn't see Vrabel go into it because I think coaching is a little bit different and you want to keep yourself immersed in it. GM, and it's like once you're out of it, it ain't like you can go hang around and be around other GMs as they're doing their jobs and whatnot. They may hire you as a consultant in some other area, but I think you tend to see GMs, you know, especially those that may be more willing to you know, give their thoughts or whatnot. Those guys tend to find themselves that are good talkers. Those guys tend to find themselves on television. Look at Mike Tannenbaum. He's one example. And Lewis Riddick, he's another example of guys that have had high positions. And now, because their ability to articulate it, they put them on television.
I'm wondering.
You know what's funny, too? I think through the years, like sometimes, and I'm not saying this is what Rand Carthon would end up doing, because he may aspire to get another crack at it, right?
Yes.
He may be willing to go be a assistant GM somewhere and, you know, build up some wins on a good team and a good program where he gets, you know, considered again and gets another shot to be a GM, even if it takes 3 or 4 years. But there's some famous failed coaches or GMs that make great announcers, right? And and they end up, it becomes part of the thing. Like Dick Vitale is famous for making fun of himself. I wasn't a great coach, but, you know, but here I am, you know. And so he's one of the most recognizable college basketball personalities there is. You know, Bill Raftery is another guy who's been a tremendous. He wasn't a great coach. You know, you look at his record, not a lot of winning. So the career can take you in a lot of different ways, for sure. And I do think Rand Carthon is very personable, and I think he can get a lot of good interviews. You could tell it right there. There was a comfort that Cam Ward had answering that question from Rand Carthon. He may not have gotten the same comfort if I asked the question.
So Ryan Wilson at CBS Sports wrote a column about Cam Ward's pro day, and there is a paragraph in here that says, "For an idea of Ward's demeanor, I cannot encourage you enough to watch this interview from his pro day from our newest colleague, former Titans general manager Rand Carthon, who might also be joining me for upcoming episodes on With the First Pick." So it appears that Rand Carthon is
a new gig,
dipping his toe into the media waters. I do wonder, though, at one point, maybe after the cameras turned off, Rand Carthon said to Cam Ward, "Hey, you're welcome."
Hey,
you like Tennessee?
Because of me?
You're welcome.
You may just as well be the number one pick. Thank me later. Put a check in the mail for me.
Oh, man. But
but it was good to see Rand. Regardless, you know, whether you agree with them or not, or whether you felt he did a great job or not. I think it's, at least for me, it's good to sort of see him back, you know, in the sort of football world through media, because I can attest to, you know, and I'm sure he can from a player standpoint, that, you know, when you leave the game, or when some people deem you're not good enough to be on my team anymore, you know, that's hard. That rejection under any circumstance, I don't care if you're the toughest of the tough, rejection is hard. It's really hard to receive. But it's good that he's back, you know, putting himself back out there to sort of, you know, not sit in it for too long.
What do you think it was like for him yesterday when he saw the Titans contingent maybe on one side of the field and he was on the other side of the field? Like, do you think it was a little awkward, like the first time you run into your ex in public? It's like, you know that they're there. You can feel their presence. You're giving them the side eye, hoping that they don't make eye contact with you. But, you know, you puff up your chest a little bit. You do your beard right. You make sure you're looking your best. Like, I'm wondering what it was like for Carthon yesterday.
Do you think he sent a friend over saying, hey, please don't come into the same area when you know he's going to be there? It makes him very uncomfortable. Did you have that, like, your go-between? Like, your ex who's friends?
Such and such is over there. You know that, right?
Right, right. I'll go talk to him. We're still cool. I'll talk to him, you know. Hey, we can't be in the same areas. Let's make a rule. You know, if you guys are in the same place, somebody's got to leave. You know, this is like,
it's like, man, grow up. I mean, we're adults. You should be able to be it. Outside of somebody physically harming you, I get that part. Don't want to be a part of them. But I think there's a point. You just be an adult, man. Sometimes it doesn't work out, and I get it for whatever reason. You hope they would stay together. But, hey, Rand, if you see him over there, just give the nod. You ain't got to walk over there. Just throw up the two hands, you know, two fingers like, hey, gotcha. I see you.
Demons, this is America. Yeah. We thrive on drama.
Guys, yeah, you're right.
I did work on the plane.
I'm doing work now.
I did not sleep on the plane.
Hey, look at all the work I just did.
Or if I did, y'all were sleeping too. You remember that? You remember that part? When you were sleeping, I had to come over and say, hey, the plane's getting ready to land. You remember that one? No, but I think both sides would be adult enough and professional enough, regardless of what the situation may be, to, if we cross paths, I'm not going out of my way, but if we cross paths, hey, how you doing? Hey, keep up a good job. Oh, hey, I hope you land, you know, see that you're out here with media now, great job, but, you know, whatever I can do, whatever. And you keep it moving. But, yeah, I'm sure it probably, you know, if it was me, I'd have looked over there and like, oh, there they go. There they go. All right, I'm going to continue what I'm doing. But then, you know, it's like, okay, I throw my two fingers. Yo, what up?
Chuck on our text line said, had Carthon been a little bit more media friendly with the Titans, he might still have his job as a GM. Alex from Clarksville says, just because it didn't work out doesn't mean we should hate the guy. I do find it funny how he avoided interviews and now does them. Well, now he's conducting the interviews versus answering the questions.
Anybody knows Berganzi
and Brinker doing a lot of interviews?
Well, not yet.
They will do a lot of interviews. I think that's just how the organization is. They're going to talk a lot now because Borgonzi just got hired, even though he's been like on hiatus, but I know why. We all know why, because of the draft. But I don't think he's going to talk no more than what Rand did as we start to move forward.
We will find.
It's probably going to be his priority. Prerogative, uh-huh. Bobby Brown, my prerogative, but I will always believe that Rand Carthon would have helped himself, because he is a good personable guy, for having a bigger media presence.
That'll do it for us today. Predators versus Hurricanes. That's where Willie is in Raleigh, North Carolina. Early puck drop tonight. Puck drop at 6. Pregame at 5. Right here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. One quick programming note, because of the early start time, Barry Trotz will still be on at 5 o'clock. He will be on with Robbie Stanley in pregame versus Stillman & Company, as he usually is. So Barry Trotz at 5, just with Robbie Stanley as part of Predators pregame. Stillman & Company coming up next.
Be love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, wonderful Tuesday. Peace.